find the power button. There we go. Well, let's have a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your love for us, how good you are to us. Thank you for this time that we can be here. And Lord, thank you for these folks who've taken an entire day out of their busy schedules to be here and to learn how they can be better servants. And Lord, I pray that that would be exactly what we would do, that we would learn to serve better. And Lord, just continue to work in my heart in that way. Lord, right now I'm submitting myself to you to be used by you. And Lord, also, Lord, I need to hear from you. And so even as I teach this, as you've worked in my heart in this area in so many ways, Lord, would you continue to work in me in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. And so if you're not here to learn about dealing with anger, then you're in the wrong spot. And the title of the lesson is Dealing with Anger, the subtitle, The Not-So-Silent Home Destroyer. It's no secret that we live in a society and culture that is angry. We see it when we drive, we see it on social media, you see it in stores, and so on. Everywhere you go, you come across angry people. You come across parents that are angry with their children. You come across drivers that are angry with other drivers. You come across customers that are angry with their server or their the store they're in or whatever it is. You come across neighbors that are angry with their neighbors. You come across church members that are angry with their pastor. You come across pastors that are angry with their church members. And we live in a society filled with anger. And here's the reality. Anger is often very easy to see in others. And this is your first blank. And it's excused in our own lives. Boy, we notice it when somebody else is angry, don't we? Yeah. I mean, it's just obvious. But how often do we excuse it in ourselves? Well, I'm just having a bad day. Well, that's just my personality. I'm just a passionate person, right? We come up with all these reasons why anger is okay in our lives, but why it's a problem in everybody else's life. And so you're probably here in this class for one of two reasons. Either number one, you know you struggle with anger and you want help. Or number two, someone in your life struggles with anger and you want help. Right? And if it wasn't one of those two reasons, then you wouldn't be here. And but here's the reality. So often we think of people with anger as the people that blow up, that explode, that have the visible anger. But what we're going to find out is that anger isn't just about what's on the outside. It's about what's on the inside. And the reality is that all of us battle anger. And it's a real struggle that we have. And I want to start out by saying this, and I think this is important. If you or your children are unsafe because of someone's anger problem, you need to get to a place of safety immediately and get the authorities involved. And if there's a reason why you're not safe, then you need to fix that. All right, that's not okay. It's not okay for you to be in physical danger. If you have children, it's not okay for them to be in physical danger. Yeah. And so I also want to say this: any type of anger can be overcome. We can get the victory in this area in any way. That being said, and can I just say this as well, that we need to be aware of that in our churches, and make sure that folks in our churches know that we're there to help them if there's a safety issue. And on a couple of occasions, I've had opportunity to counsel with people, and there's been a couple times where I've said, listen, if you're not safe, then the number one priority is you need to get to a safe place. And that is important that we understand that. And so sometimes we're like, well, you know, my husband really loves me, but, you know, he just gets violent sometimes. Well, can I say this? Anger is, if they're violent in anger, that's not an action of love. They may also love you, okay? But they're not acting in love when they do that. But it's not okay. Stop excusing it, and you need to get to where you're safe. You need to be in a safe place. And so don't feel bad about that. And also I want to say this. The next blank is anger. Anger is tearing apart our homes and therefore tearing apart our society. What we see in public shows us that it's much worse in our homes. Mm-hmm. Can I tell you that what we see in our society is probably magnified 10 times in our homes? It just is. And the sad thing about a lot of sin, but specifically this sin, is the people that we love the most also most often feel this the most. Right? I will share some of my story later, but in my life I have struggled with anger. And God has helped me to a great degree to get victory over that. But I have struggled with anger. And I'm not trying to throw my family under the bus, but I think my family would be the first ones to tell you that anger is a generational sin in my family. And I love my family. And I would not tear them down at all. And I've seen some of my family get tremendous victory over it. But it's a generational sin. You know what I've learned about anger also? And I'm not excusing it by any stretch of the imagination, but at least in men, any man that I've ever known or watched who's accomplished anything with his life has struggled with anger. Because the same passion and drive that allow them to accomplish much is the same passion and drive that drives the anger reaction inside of them. And so and don't misunderstand that as an excuse. It's not. And you can accomplish great things without struggling with anger, but that same drive also often is the drive behind the anger as well. And we just have to be aware of that. And so, again, I'm not excusing it, but it's a reality that it's a struggle for a lot of people. But it's tearing apart our society. It's tearing apart our homes. How often are you in the grocery store and you see a mom or a dad screaming at their kids? My wife told me a story just the other day. She went by this little, 18-month-old or whatever, 2-year-old in the store in the cart. And the little kid said hi to her, so she said hi back. And just a few minutes later, she hears this same mom who completely ignored the fact that her child was interacting with my wife. But 2 minutes later in the store, she's screaming. My wife's an aisle over, and she hears this mom screaming at this little kid, "Would you stop doing that? I'm just sick and tired of you acting." I mean, just going off. But we see that all the time. And if you're in here and you're a parent, can we admit that sometimes we get frustrated with our kids? Amen. Yeah. And this is not a session on child discipline, but can I just encourage you in this way? And I may touch on this a little bit later on, but when you're working with your children, the mistake we often make is we correct when we get frustrated. Right? We let them do whatever, we let them jump in the mud puddle until they get their good clothes dirty, and then we yell at them for getting their good clothes dirty. You know, it's cute and funny when they do this action when they're 2, but then when they're 5, we're screaming at them. No, it needs to be a principle, or in other words, we need to correct because it's wrong, not because it's irritating us. Right. And so that's something important we need to understand. But again, this isn't on child rearing, this is on anger. So, but we have to admit that anger is a problem. And again, we'll talk about it later. So how do we deal with anger? Right? How do we address this thing? Because it's very obviously a real issue in society. It's a real issue in our churches. It's a real issue in our homes. It's a real issue in our lives. So how do we deal with this? Luke chapter 9 in your Bibles, and I'm just going to tell you right out that a lot of these notes in here I've taken from a message that I'll share with you later on in the notes that I would highly encourage you to go listen to, and we'll get there in a second. But a lot of this information is based on a lot of help that I've received through the years, both in my own personal study and then in other messages and things people have talked to me about. So how do we deal with anger? Luke chapter 9, verses 51 through 56. The Bible says this, "And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, 'Lord, wilt thou we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did?' But he turned and rebuked them and said, 'Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man does not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them.' And they went to another village." And so in our text passage here, Jesus is headed to Jerusalem through Samaria. And if you remember, the Samaritans hated the Jews, and the Jews hated the Samaritans so much so that normally if you look at a map of Israel, Samaria was smack in the middle. And so if you're going from the south to the north or the north to the south, the fastest way was through Samaria, but most Jews didn't. They actually went around to avoid Samaria because they couldn't stand those people. And the Samaritans couldn't stand the Jews. And so now here Jesus comes into Samaria. He oftentimes in his travels from north to south, he would go straight through Samaria. And again, not part of this, but what a testimony to us of going to the people that we don't like, the people that we struggle with, the people that bother us. We're commanded to reach them too. And so Jesus went right through, and he sent the disciples to prepare for his arrival. We see that in verse 52. The Samaritans, however, did not receive him because he was a Jew headed to Jerusalem. If you look at verse number 53, it says, "And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem." Because of the direction of Jesus' travel, the fact that he was going to Jerusalem, he was obviously a Jew, the Samaritans said, "We don't want you here, leave." James and John, who loved Jesus very much and were members of his inner circle, Jesus had kind of an inner circle of three. And it was Peter, James, and John. And so here are two of the closest disciples to Jesus. And they wanted to call fire down from heaven and consume these people. If you look at verse 54, when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did?" So here they are, they love Jesus, and they're very upset by how Jesus was treated. They're upset at how they were being treated, and they're like, "Jesus, can we call fire down from heaven on these people?" Let's be honest, how many of us, don't raise your hand, but how many of you ever wanted to call fire down from heaven on somebody? Yeah, sometimes. Jesus rebuked them and addressed their spirit. Not their actions. He addressed their spirit, which was a spirit of anger. If you look at verse 55, "But he turned and rebuked them and said, 'Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of.'" They had a spirit of anger. They were angry about how they were treated. They were angry about how somebody else was treated. And so often we look at anger as an action problem. Right? The fact that somebody punches a wall is a problem. The fact that somebody yells is a problem. The fact that somebody clams up is a problem. We look at the reactions of anger, and we look at that as the core issue. Jesus here didn't get upset at his disciples for the action they wanted to do. He said, "You have a spirit problem. You have a spirit problem." And can I tell you that if we want to get victory over our anger, it's not going to be fixed in correcting our actions. It's going to be fixed and correcting our spirit by addressing who we are. Our spirit, that's your next blank. And there's two, I think I skipped one before. So Jesus rebuked them and addressed their spirit. And then the next blank is our spirit is what tells people we are different. It tells them that we know Jesus. Over in Acts chapter number 4, verse number 13. Acts 4, verse 13, the Bible says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." And when we see that what told the people there that they were different was the spirit that Peter and John had. They perceived there was something different about them. And so our spirit is what tells people that we are different, that we know Jesus. When we have a spirit of anger, our life is putting off anger, not Christ. Have you ever been around somebody and you're just like, "Wow, this person obviously spends time with God"? That's somebody that's got a right spirit. You know, when you're around somebody that has a spirit of anger, it often doesn't take you too long to discover that they have a spirit of anger. It comes out in many different forms. It can come out in a critical spirit, in words of criticism. Obviously, the typical anger reactions that we see. There's a whole lot of things that point to the fact that we have a spirit of anger. S.M. Davis said, "An angry spirit manifests itself in a harshness that keeps those around us on edge." How many of you ever heard the phrase, "I have to walk on eggshells"? Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. Maybe you know what that's like. Maybe you experienced that. Maybe your family knows what's like what that's like because they've experienced that from you. But when somebody when you have to walk around eggshells, feel like you walk around eggshells, you have to be so careful and cautious. It's because you don't want to upset that person. They have a spirit of anger. The Bible has a lot to say about anger, especially in Proverbs. We'll look at some of these verses in Proverbs chapter number 14. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 17. The Bible says this, "He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated." Boy, how often has anger caused you or somebody around you to react foolishly? I told you that this is an area that I've struggled with, and I'm not going to stand up here and say that I have complete victory over it. I can still struggle with anger, but my wife is sitting right here on the front row, and I know that she would attest that she's seen a change in me. And that's by God's grace. But I'm talking about going all the way back to when I played sports in junior high and high school. I always excused it, and others always excused it as just being passionate about the game. But boy, if I made a mistake on the basketball court, I would kick the bleachers or punch the wall or punch the ground if I was playing soccer. And then I didn't think I had an anger problem. I just thought I was passionate about the game. I look back on it now and I realize I had an anger problem. There was an issue there. And how many times I acted foolishly because of anger. Proverbs 21, verse number 19. By the way, it's always easy to see that in others. It's not as easy to see it in ourselves. Yeah. Proverbs 21, verse 19, the Bible says, "It's better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman." God says it's better to be around nobody at all than to be with an angry woman. Proverbs 22, verse 24. The Bible says, "Make no friendship with an angry man. With a furious man thou shalt not go." Verse 25 says, "Lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul." God says, listen, if you know somebody that's an angry person, you shouldn't spend a lot of time with them. You know why? Because you pick up that behavior. You need to be careful about that. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 22. Proverbs 29, verse 22. "He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil..." Whoops, that's 28. How about 29, verse 22? "An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression." Boy, it doesn't take much to see in the world we live in today the kind of strife that an angry man can stir up. Or an angry woman, for that matter. One more, Ecclesiastes chapter number 7. And this is a good one. Ecclesiastes chapter number 7. If it's in the Bible, it's good. Amen. Verse number 9, "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools." Whew. That's a tough one to hear. God says, if you are a person of anger, then you're a fool. And listen, if you pay attention to the book of Proverbs at all, what you realize is that I don't know of very many people in the Bible that God speaks less of than fools. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just want to see the kind of person that God doesn't like, read Proverbs and read about the fool. And listen to me, if you're in here and you're struggling with anger, you have an anger problem, God says you're a fool.
Amen.
And we have to sit in that for a second. We have to own that. Mm-hmm. That's harsh. But it's true. We often try to excuse our anger by calling it righteous indignation. Righteous indignation. How many of you heard that phrase? Well, it's just righteous indignation. Did you know that phrase isn't actually in the Bible? Nowhere does the Bible use the phrase righteous indignation. I've heard it said in pulpits. I've used it numerous times in my own life. The Bible never uses the phrase righteous indignation. James chapter 1. Go to James chapter 1 in your Bibles because I want you to see this verse. James chapter 1, verse number 20. We often want to justify our anger. and make it out to be some kind of act of righteousness. But here's what James chapter 1, verse 20 says, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God."
Right.
The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. When I am acting in anger, I cannot be also working God's righteousness. Again, another powerful statement. So often we want to, and listen, I understand the Bible says we always want to run to the verses where it says, you know, be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Here's the reality of the fact. Almost never, like maybe 0.1% of the time, could our anger possibly be the anger that God has towards sin. Because most of the time, even when we're angry at sin, we're not angry at sin because it's against God. We're angry at sin because it hurt us.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not angry at the guy because he did wrong. I'm angry because his wrong hurt me. That's not God's righteousness.
Amen.
That's the wrath of man. And the Bible says it doesn't work the righteousness of God. Until we begin to address anger at the heart level. So next blank, the heart level. It will continue to tear apart our homes. We've got to address it at the heart level. We've got to go beyond the action. We've got to go beyond the punching the wall, the screaming and hollering, the fill in the blank, whatever it is. We've got to get to the heart level. I told you that I struggled with anger. Now, I was never violent against people. I've thrown hammers. I've punched walls. I've done stupid stuff like that. But never, ever have I ever directed my anger at somebody in a violent way. I've never really even... I'm not a yeller at people. That's just not me. I don't know that I can say that I've never done that. But very rarely. It's just not my personality. And so I'm not the guy that's gonna scream at you if I'm angry at you. That's just not me. But I struggled with anger greatly. But I was one of those people that thought, you know, I know I struggle with anger. I know it's there. But I was one of those guys that thought I had it under control. I'll never forget the night that my wife looked at me. She said, "Your anger is destroying our home."
Thank God for our wives.
And that was so hard for me to hear. Because number one, the last thing I wanted to do was to destroy my home.
Yeah.
It was the last thing I wanted to do. The second reason it was hard for me to hear was because I didn't really feel like it was that true. I knew I struggled with anger, but the way that she shared it with me, and she was 100% right in what she did it in an amazing way. But I felt like she was saying that all the problems in our home were my fault. And the reality that I came to later is, especially as the husband of the home, all the problems of the home were my fault. But I didn't even realize how much of an impact my angry spirit was having. I remember after she told me that, we had a little bit of a conversation. I left our bedroom. I went and sat on the step that goes down to our living room. And I was there for a long time, just both frustrated and upset, and just all kinds of emotions were running through me. I remember she came out and she sat with me and we talked through it some more. And I told her I was going to do better. And so I began to work on it, or at least I thought I began to work on it. And I did. I think I got better at the outward reactions. But it wasn't until even a few years after that, maybe a year or two later, that I was counseling with somebody. By the way, let me just encourage you, you need to have somebody that you counsel with, that you go to for counsel and advice. We all need that. And I was talking to somebody, and about a completely separate issue. And they said, Caleb, let me ask you a question. Do you struggle with anger? I was like, yeah, a little bit. Time to time. And so he encouraged me to listen to a message, and I've got it mentioned later on down towards the bottom of your notes. It says, watch on YouTube, Freedom from the Spirit of Anger by S.M. Davis. And I would ask you that you listen to that, watch it, whatever you want to call it, because that's what I needed. And I'll talk about that more in just a little bit. But it took my wife looking at me and saying, your anger is hurting this family. And God used that to start the snowball of me actually addressing and changing things in my life. And it was a process, and it still is a process. I'm not up here standing here saying that I've arrived. But I am light years different today than I was 5 years ago. So how do we get victory over anger in our lives and in our spirit? Right? So I think that by us being here, we know that it's a problem. Can somebody look at the... Would you look and tell me what time I'm supposed to be done? I should have written that down. So how do we get anger in our... Get over anger in our lives and our spirits? The next blank, what is it? 240. Okay, perfect. The next blank is admit. You have to admit you have a problem and confess it. Psalm 51. We all, or I think most of us all, know that this is the psalm where David, after his sin with Bathsheba, was getting his heart right with God. Psalm 51, verse 3, he says, "For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me." You've got to admit that you have a problem and confess it. Most of us, if you're in here and you struggle with anger, then there's a good chance you're probably a lot like I was. We think we've got it under control. I know I struggle with it here and there, but mostly I've got this taken care of. No, we don't. It's not the case. Because again, we look at sometimes the outward action, and we think, well, you know, listen, I've never hit anybody in anger, so I'm pretty good. I mean, yeah, I get on my kids a little harshly once in a while, but I don't cuss them out like that mom I saw in the store the other day, or like that dad. Well, I don't even have outward anger reaction at all. See, my wife and I are opposites. I'm the person that I have more of a tendency to show out my anger. My wife is not that person. She's the keep it inside person. But can I tell you that both are equally wrong? You see, the spirit of anger is where the sin is. And it doesn't matter if you're showing it out or if you're keeping it in. Yes, my wife's inside anger will, at the moment of anger, have less of an impact than my outward anger. But over time, the result is the same. Because that spirit of anger, people feel that when they're with you. If you're a parent and you have the spirit of anger, I don't care if you keep it inside or you show it outside, your children feel that. And when my wife was talking to me, that's what she was pointing out, was that I have three boys. And she was saying, your boys are picking up on the anger that you have. And she was right. And I'm so thankful that she said something. So we have to admit that we don't have it under control. You got to admit that there's a problem. One of the biggest reasons we never get victory over sin is because we constantly excuse it away. And listen to me, sin kept in the darkness, you cannot get victory over it. I don't care what the sin is. You know, James chapter number 5, in the verses where it talks about the prayer for healing, it says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We focus a lot on part B of that verse and we almost never talk about part A. Where it says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. I'm here to tell you that until you get open and honest with somebody, you need to be careful who it is, but until you sit down with God first and foremost. But I think in a lot of cases, you also need to sit down with somebody and look at them and say, I struggle with, in this case, anger. I struggle with gossip. I struggle with pornography. I struggle with, until you sit down and you are open and honest about the sin. I'm not saying you confess it in front of everybody, but you've got to bring it into the light.
Yeah.
And so we've got to be honest about that. If you want to really, really get after this thing, humble yourself and ask your husband, your wife, or your children how you're doing in this area. Sir, go home and ask your wife this afternoon, hey, do you think I'm an angry person? Do I have a spirit of anger? You might not like the answer you get. Hey, go home and ask your husband, hey, do I have a spirit of anger? Now listen, if you ask them, don't you get upset at them if they're honest with you.
Right. Amen.
Do I have a spirit of anger? Well, yeah. What do you mean? I mean, there's your answer, right? It may require a husband or a wife to lovingly say to your spouse, you have a spirit of anger like my wife did. I've never asked her, but I suspect that was probably one of the hardest conversations that she ever had with me. And I struggled with it for a long time. I've never told her this part, but for a long time, every time somebody else would get angry in the house, in my heart, I was like, yeah, it's okay for you to get angry, but I can't. If she would get frustrated, I would think, oh yeah, sure, you can get angry, but I can't. And I struggled with that. And God had to show me a couple years later that I was harboring bitterness about the conversation that we had. And I had to deal with that. And so I'm here telling you that the victory over anger is not you go to the altar one time and you pray and you make a decision, I need to get victory over this anger, and then it's done.
Yeah.
No, it's gonna be a battle, it's gonna be a process, but you've got to own the fact that you struggle with it. Mm. Stop excusing it, stop blaming your parents. Stop blaming your grandparents. Right. Stop blaming the situation that you grew up in. You've got to say, I struggle with anger.
Yep. Amen.
Can I tell you that if your husband or your wife or even one of your kids or your parents, we've got some teenagers in here, some young people in here, if somebody comes to you and says you have a problem with anger, you need to respond humbly to that.
Mm, that's good.
You're not going to like hearing it, but you need to hear it. By the way, if anybody loves you enough to say I see a problem here, you need to be humble enough to accept that. You're not going to. None of us like to be told we're wrong. None of us like to be told we have a problem. Least of all, the men that are in here. I will dig 100 holes 100 foot deep before I want to hear somebody tell me that I'm wrong. Matter of fact, when my wife and I were dating, I half jokingly said to her, I only have two rules. I said, if this is going to work, I only have two rules. I said, number one, I'm always right. Number two, I always win. I know that I'm not always right. I knew that then. But I want to be always right. And it's a humbling thing to admit that you're not right. And so we have to be willing to humbly accept that. Can I say this? If you feel like you need to approach somebody about your anger, then you better make sure you're dealing with it in your own life first.
Yeah.
Remember one time I had to talk to one of my sons about an anger problem that he was having. Boy, God convicted my heart greatly because I was ready to go off on him. I mean, really let him know that what he did was wrong. And God said, how about you? Where do you suppose he got that behavior from? That was a tough one for me that day. I had to sit down with my son. I had to say, we're going to work on this together. Because I know where you got this behavior. It was from your dad. You want to help your children get over victory, get victory in their sin, then you better be honest with them. You want to help your spouse get victory in something like anger, then you better get honest with them about it. Honest with yourself. You got to own your own problem, your own struggle there. Next blank, until you fully acknowledge the problem, you can't fix it. Until you will own the fact that anger is a problem, that God hates it. Again, we're so good at minimizing, I've got to hurry, we're so good at minimizing our sin. We've got to start seeing our sin like God sees it. Listen to me, every time I think an angry thought, I have an angry word, I act in an angry way, I deserve to burn in the pit of hell for all of eternity, just like the child rapists, just like the murderers. And we got to start seeing our sin as that bad. Next, so first you have to admit that you have a problem and confess it. Next, ask God and others for help. Psalm 51 verse 10, again, David, he says to God, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. This isn't something you're going to get the victory over on your own. You're going to have to have help. For most of us in here, if you struggle with anger, it's a battle you've probably fought your entire life. Again, I can see patterns of angry behavior in my life going back to at least junior high school. Probably farther than that, I just can't remember back that far at this point. And when it's something you've struggled with for decades, you're not gonna get the victory over that by yourself. You're going to have to get some help. And first and foremost, that help comes from God. We need the help of the Holy Spirit to control our spirit. Mm-hmm. You understand that when the Holy Spirit of God moved in when you got saved, He brought with Him everything that you need to live the victorious Christian life. Yeah. Everything is there. We've got to learn to let Him work in our hearts. And so we need to ask for His help. Ask for God to teach you. Ask for God to show you. Again, if you really want to work on this, ask your spouse and your children to help you see when you are angry in your spirit. It's going to require a lot of humility. In the message, the Freedom from the Spirit of Anger, he tells a story about a man who had a spirit of anger, and he didn't realize all the times he got angry. And so he went to his wife and his children, and his relationship with his teenage daughter was almost non-existent because of his anger. And he went to them and said, listen, I want to get a victory over this. He said, would you show me? You know, here's what I want you to do. I want you to just, anytime you perceive that my angry spirit is coming out, just come up and put your hand on my shoulder.
That's good.
And he said, it wasn't 30 minutes later. And I was with my family, and all of a sudden, my daughter's hand was on my shoulder. And he's like, what are you doing? She said, Dad, you asked me to do this. And he said, I didn't realize how often I was getting angry, how often that spirit of anger was coming out, how much it affected his family. And he dealt with it. He addressed it. And he his relationship with his daughter was miraculously restored. Again, if you ask them to do this, you can't get angry when they help you. You've got to let them help you. Can I also say this? Don't do this unless you're asked. Right? If you're in here and you're like, man, my husband struggles with anger, don't start pointing out every time he gets angry unless he asks you to do that. Man, if you have a wife or you have a teenager that struggles with anger, a teenager is a little bit different because you have the authority over them to do that. But just be careful about how often you're pointing it out, especially if you've not been asked. Because it's not going to go well. But if you really want to see victory, let me encourage you to ask. Watch on YouTube this message, Freedom from the Spirit of Anger. God helped me so much with this. Again, I thought I was doing pretty good, and I had seen some growth. I remember it was shortly after the man that was helping me suggested I listen to this. My wife and I were on a trip. We were going about an hour and a half away, and I thought, you know, this would be a good time. I'll listen to this, and she'll appreciate the fact that I'm listening to this. She'll see I'm working on this thing. I remember getting to the end of the message, and I looked over at my wife, and there was tears streaming down her face. And I realized I have a long way to go. And I know that I still have a long way to go, I'm sure, but God has worked. And I'm here to tell you that you can get victory. You can get over the spirit of anger in your life. If you have a spouse, a parent, or a child who struggles in this area, let me just encourage you, spend much time in prayer with God for that person. My wife never told me specifically that she was praying for me in this area, but I know my wife, and I know that she prayed for me often. And God used that in my life in a tremendous way. As we finish this up, until we take this sin seriously, it will continue to tear apart our homes from the inside out. I believe, and the longer I live and the more I address this sin in my own life, the more I believe that a huge part of the reason why we have teenagers leaving church and not coming back is because they live in homes where there's the spirit of anger. Mm. They have pastors that exhibit the spirit of anger. They have youth pastors that exhibit the spirit of anger. They have moms that have a spirit of anger. They have dads with a spirit of anger. And they want away from that. They say, I don't want any part of that in my life. Nothing will push people away from you like the spirit of anger does. And until we honestly address it, until we take it seriously, until we say this is a problem, it's going to continue. Husbands and fathers, we have a good group of men in here. Can I beg of you to take the lead in this area? We've got to, in our homes, say, first and foremost, I struggle with anger. One of the reasons why we struggle to address anger in our teenagers is because we see us in them. And it's pretty hard to address their sin when we know that they see our sin. By the way, that's not just true in the area of anger. But that's what we're talking about. Families, please work on this area together. Addressing your children's anger problems will not work if you're not also addressing your own. Don't yell at your sister like that. He or she's just repeating the behavior they just saw you in the store 15 minutes ago. Right, they're just repeating their behavior when you were at McDonald's and they gave you a McChicken instead of a McDouble. You go up there, hey, I ordered a double cheeseburger and you gave me a chicken sandwich. Would you get your act together? I'm sick and tired of you getting my order wrong all the time. And then 15 minutes later, little Johnny looks at his sister and says, why are you always playing with my toys? Don't you talk to your sister like that. I wonder where she learned that behavior. I wonder where he learned that behavior. We've got to address it in ourselves and in our homes. But I have three boys. If I'm going to talk to them about their anger problem, they're going to have to know that their dad is working on his anger problem. Or they're just going to be like, yeah, whatever, Dad. By the way, two of my boys are sitting in here right now. God can give us the victory in this area. And that's the hope that I want to give you. Because listen, I'm far from perfect. But God has done such a work in my life. And I know that as I allow Him to, He'll continue to do that. If you struggle with anger, start dealing with it today. If you have family members that struggle with it, go to God. Take it to God. Consider, if you can do it in a safe way. Again, if your spouse is violent, then addressing anger with them is not going to be a good idea. But if you have a spouse, if you have a good enough relationship that your spouse can hear you, then don't be afraid to say, pray about it, talk to God about it, but don't be afraid to say, listen, your anger is hurting this home. I don't know where I'd be today if my wife hadn't had that conversation with me 6 or 7 years ago. Can I be honest? I don't know that I'd be here. I'm thankful for a godly wife who loved me enough to say, you have a problem. I'm thankful for godly men in my life who have said, you have a problem. And if somebody loves you enough to look at you and say you have a problem, thank them and deal with it. You can get the victory. You can, through God's help. Lord, thank you for today, for your love for us, how good you are to us. Lord, I hope this was a help to these folks in here. I know anger is a problem in our society. It's a problem in our homes, in our churches, in our lives. We've got to deal with it. Lord, I pray that you'd work in a special way. Help those in here. Lord, obviously they're here because they're concerned. They're concerned that they struggle with it. They're concerned that a family member is struggling with it. Lord, help us to deal with it biblically, rightly. And Lord, I pray that in this room we would see in the coming weeks, months, and years incredible victory in this area. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.